My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
So Woods got caught in the trap
of the crossfire
yesterday. Woods, you had the number one pick in our fantasy football league, our media/Padres league that we're in, and you logically and I think justifiably selected Christian McCaffrey, the reigning offensive player of the year in football, the guy projected to get the most points, and probably the number one pick in most fantasy football leagues. Who, going into the first week, there had been injury concerns, obviously, in training camp, but most reports had indicated that they expected CMC to be on the field for the San Francisco 49ers. Injury reports and such had led everybody to believe that. But when they got to, it was about 1 o'clock yesterday.
Was it that early?
I
thought it was much later.
It was sometime in the afternoon. It was within 3 or 4 hours of game time, whenever it was. It was announced that when the inactives come out, it's about 3 hours before the game, I think. And he was going to be inactive, not in the lineup.
Couldn't have done anything anyway.
Well, that's the thing with fantasy football. Most leagues, had they played on Sunday, before other games had been locked in,
you could
drop a backup, you could switch your lineup, put someone in.
When there's one game
left, though, and all your other guys have already played, your lineups are all locked, you can't drop anybody, can't add anybody, and you were out of luck.
Yep.
You had to take a big goose egg
SOL
from your number one running back position.
Sammy Leavitt, congratulations. Took down the champ here. First pick in the draft, Sammy Leavitt won pretty handily.
All three of us lost, right?
Yeah, very cool. I'm glad we did this.
Fantastic.
Yep.
And obviously, you can't necessarily fault the 49ers. It's not in their best interest to let the New York Jets know days and days in advance that one of their star players isn't going to be on the field. That's a competitive disadvantage. But when so many people are investing so much time and money into their fantasy football leagues, you're going to have a lot of upset fans out there when they find out at the last minute that their star player is not going to be able to be on their team this week.
The thing that panicked me even more than that was earlier in the day I had laid down a little wager on Niners -4.5. I thought, this is going to be easy money. Well, and it turned out to be pretty easy money.
Well,
I didn't really need him.
Because of his backup, Jordan Mason, who had a big game, close to 150 yards and a touchdown. But what he said afterwards, now the 49ers could have just said, hey, last minute thing, Calf wasn't feeling it. We had to decide to deactivate Christian McCaffrey. But after the game, in a live interview on ESPN, Jordan Mason was asked, when did you know you were going to go? Like, yeah, they just told me, this morning that I was going to go. Friday night.
It's Monday.
So the 49ers have been hiding this from everybody all weekend. Didn't leak to any of the Adam Schefters of the world or Ian Rappaport's. None of them got wind Nice buttoned-up ship that the 49ers run. Yeah. That would not leak out to anybody.
Yeah.
That they knew for the last one, two, three days that Christian McCaffrey wasn't going to be playing in that game and that Jordan Mason was going to be starting.
Yep.
Plenty of time for everybody to adjust their fantasy football lineups and make some moves.
I wonder if the lines would have changed at
Absolutely.
All. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think
that's definitely worth a point or two toward the Jets.
Well, I bet yesterday, too, when people saw the news, if they hadn't put a wager down and they saw that news, they're like, ooh, I'm going to get smart here and put some money on the Jets with Breece Hall and Aaron Rodgers back. And
I was wondering how that all affected the line.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, good job to the Niners. Really good job. That's a well-run organization, being able to keep that under wraps. You didn't do me any favors, but you don't owe me anything either. So, it is what it is.
Is this something the NFL needs to address, or is it like, hey, you play fantasy football, you're taking your chances? It's a form of gambling like anything else. And guess what? Bad luck happens in gambling all the time.
It does, but I do know this: the NFL is firmly in bed with gambling. Firmly, like they are next to each other, having breakfast in bed. So I do wonder if Roger Goodell got any salty phone calls about, hey man, they have to let us know. If they know 3 days in advance, there needs to be some sort of protocol, because again, that's how we base our lines on the guys that are going to be able to play.
I mean, there are injury protocols. That's why they have the doubtful, questionable, probable system that is supposed to be, you know, fairly accurate and enforceable.
I get it. But it definitely would have changed some things, I would think.
Need a contestant for Take on Woods if you want to join us and Take on Woods for a chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. Speaking of gambling, 833-288-0973, our musical trivia game coming up in just minutes. 833-288-0973. Give us a call right now. We'll put you on hold, get you online as a potential contestant. I can't say that I was horribly disappointed to see Aaron Rodgers' return not go that well. Aaron Rodgers is a phenomenal talent. I actually enjoy watching. I have enjoyed watching him quarterback over the years.
It's funny you say that.
Aaron Rodgers off the field has become just kind of a nightmare, and like it's turned me against him more in this last year.
It's so funny you say that, because I'm like you, and I was probably more in his camp than you were. I liked part of his weirdness. There's something to it. It got a little ridiculous at times. That said, when he drops back to pass, still enjoy it very much. I still really enjoy watching him play the actual game of football. When he drops back, he had a pass. I don't remember who he threw it to, but it was Sammy's receiver. So he got a big gain. But he led him perfectly to where he didn't get his clock cleaned. And you see him, it was for a first down, and he gives it like the... I like watching him play football.
Obviously for a, 40-year-old now?
Yeah.
He's still in phenomenal shape. But there is undoubtedly a dad playing with the kids vibe going on with Aaron Rodgers
now out on
the field.
100%.
I mean, you know, these 23-year-old rookies out there, and Aaron Rodgers is starting to go a little silver and just
a little gray.
Looks like he's from a completely different generation than most of the other players on the field at this point.
Yeah, I thought, you know, and again, he didn't look terrible. He didn't look great, but it was...
Yeah, there were a couple missed passes.
He threw a pick.
Couple of good ones that were on target.
Also, I mean, the Niners are really, really good.
Oh,
they're really good. Watching them, their defense is a thing of, you know, if you like football, they're really fun to watch.
Week one overreaction already looks like it's going to be the Chiefs running away in the AFC and the 49ers running away in the NFC.
I don't know that that's an overreaction.
I think it's a good reaction.
That's pretty much what's happened every year the last couple of years.
They met in the Super Bowl last year, and I'm like, bro, they played without the best player in football yesterday.
Yeah.
They had, you know, Brandon Ayuk missed a couple catches, and you heard Troy Aikman say, hey, you know, that's what happens when you hold out.
Did you hear Peyton Manning?
You get a little rusty.
Did you hear Peyton Manning? Yeah, it was on the Manning cast.
I was watching the Manning cast.
Well, no, it's on Twitter. He was hot. When Ayuk dropped that pass in the end zone, they dove for it. That's why you get in camp. That's why you get in camp early. Get your contract signed. Get in camp. He was hot. And you know, I mean, look, you're Peyton Manning. They were like, hey, falling all over themselves to give you the deal that you wanted. You never had to worry
like about holding out.
But, man, I'm watching the Niners going, holy cow, George Kittle, so fun to watch. Brock Purdy is just as solid as it gets. You know, Debo, so fun to watch. All those guys are fun to watch, and their defense, Fred Warner, those guys, they are a blast. I mean, they are Joey Bosa. They're a, not Joey, Nick Bosa. They are a blast to
Kyle
watch.
Kyle Shanahan, creative offense. I mean, the jet sweeps to Debo. I mean, it seems like just a well-run team. And looking at their schedule, maybe one loss in the first six games. I mean, they got Minnesota, the Rams, the Patriots, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks. Coming up before a game against Kansas City on Sunday, October 20th, which I'm sure will be one that everyone kind of circles on their calendars as a big October test for both teams and a potential Super Bowl preview coming up in October. Yeah. But yeah, the 49ers look good without Christian McCaffrey. Now, throw him into the mix and see how good they're going to be.
Hopefully he's just injured and in and out all year.
Yes.
That'd be super
for
fun.
Your fantasy football pleasure.
I'm more upset with my Michael Pittman second round pick after like a three catch
I'm more
game.
Upset with my Marvin Harrison Jr. pick. Oh, goodness gracious.
Is that your first round?
No.
No, second round?
Second, I think. Yeah, back into the second or start of the third, one of the two. Yuck.
No one cares about our fantasy.
No.
Literally nobody.
Well, you know what? Even if you lose at fantasy football, you did win yesterday and take on Woods. Let's see if you can make it two in a row. Let's play our game.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on
Woods.
Take on Woods.
All right, take Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Polly, pick someone at random for me.
Oh, let's try. Is this Ray?
Yes.
Ray, hi, congratulations.
Good morning.
You are a contestant. What do you do, Ray?
I'm a manager at a medical company.
All right. Good luck. You could probably use a vacation to Vegas if you can beat or tie Woods. We're going to put you into the drawing for a two-night stay at the Wynn or Encore. Very nice. And tickets to see Awakening, the thrilling spectacle at the Wynn. Tickets are on sale now at awakening.com. All right, Woods is left. You get to go first. Five questions, and you get the advantage of knowing the category here. Your choices are Little Shop of Horrors, five song titles or musical artists beginning with the word little. An iffy category, five song titles that begin with the word if. And our new category today is called Below the Waist, five songs that include a lower half body part in the title. So, Little Shop of Horrors, an iffy category, or Below the Waist, Ray?
Let's go with Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors. Okay. Today's five answers will all be song titles or musical artists beginning with the word little. You'll get 60 seconds. Try to answer as many of the five as you can. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question's the two-second song. Polly will play you some music. You need to give me the title and the artist to score the point, one of which starts with the word little. Ray, are you ready to play?
Yeah.
All right. Paul, you ready?
I'm ready.
60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Category Little Shop of Horrors. Good luck, Ray. Let's take on Woods.
Little Lies, Fleetwood Mac.
Correct. Which 1983 Prince hit uses an automotive theme as a metaphor for a one-night stand with a fast woman?
Little Red Corvette.
Correct. If you're thinking fondly about the Australians behind the 1970 hit Cool Change, you'd be reminiscing about which band?
Ah.
Which rock and roll pioneer with the last name of Penniman had 50s hits including Tutti Frutti and Long Tall Sally?
Little Richard.
Correct. The George Baker selection is best known for which 1969 song included in the soundtrack to Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs?
Say again? Repeat your last.
The George Baker selection is best known for which 1969 song included in the soundtrack to Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs?
Little Devil.
Incorrect. If you're thinking fondly about the Australians behind the 1979 hit Cool Change, you'd be reminiscing about which band? All right, you got three. That was Little River Band that sings both Cool Change and Reminiscing. And the George Baker selection song is called Little Green Bag. You got Little Eyes, Fleetwood Mac, Little Red Corvette, and Little Richard. Let's bring Woods in. That's the score to beat now. Woods doesn't know the score to beat. He doesn't know the category. He comes in completely in the dark.
And exhausted.
And exhausted from a lack of sleep.
Good opportunity for the listener.
Yeah, really good.
All right. 60 seconds back on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Ray.
Fleetwood Mac. Pass.
Which 1983 Prince hit uses an automotive theme as a metaphor for a one-night stand with a fast woman?
Little Red Corvette?
Correct. If you're thinking fondly about the Australians behind the 1979 hit Cool Change, you'd be reminiscing about which band?
Cool Change. Pass.
Which rock and roll pioneer with the last name of Penniman had 50 hits, including Tutti Frutti and Long Tall Sally?
Little Richard?
Correct. The George Baker Selection is best known for which 1969 song included in the soundtrack to Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs?
Pass.
Go back to our two-second song.
That's Fleetwood Mac, Lies, or Tell Me Lies?
No. Incorrect. If you're thinking fondly about the Australians behind the 1979 hit Cool Change, you'd be reminiscing about which band?
The Taints.
Oh, wow. You've lost. 3-2. Ray, congratulations.
Wait, I only got two?
You got two.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's two. You got Little Red Corvette and Little Richard. All the answers started with little. So what kind of lies were they?
Little lies.
Little lies.
I said that.
No, you said...
Lies.
You said lies.
Then I said sweet little lies.
No, you didn't say little.
I did.
You never said little.
Like your fourth guess was sweet little lies.
I said little.
You didn't say little for soon enough. Cool Change and also reminiscing is Little River Band.
Little River
Band. And George Baker Selection is Little Green Bag. Ray, congratulations. Right. You are the winner today. Good luck.
Congrats, buddy.
In the drawing for Las Vegas. Stand line. Paulie, we'll get your information here.
Time for me, Ray.
Get me when I'm tired and weak.
Apparently.
God dang it.
Everybody's qualifying this month.
Little Lies.
Little Lies. The category was Little Shop of Horrors.
And everything said little.
Started with the word little. Little Lies, Little Red
Corvette, like that would have
helped
River
Band, Little Richard, Little Green Bag. Yes, it would have.
Yep.
All right.
Very cool. Very cool way to start my Tuesday.
Sorry about that, Woodsy.
I'm happy for him. What's his name? Richard?
Ray.
Ray. Good job, Ray.
Richard Penniman is Little Richard. You are tired today.
Beat.
All right.
Cool. Good job, Ray.
Good
We're
job,
approaching
Ray.
Don't do this Hall of Fame status for Deshaun Watson.
When's enough enough?
I think it was enough a while
ago.
This is... The only team that didn't know
was
enough was
separate from all the other stuff.
Was the Browns.
Brand new.
It's brand new.
Yesterday.
He got to go.
You can't
dozens of women,
but you can't cut him. I mean, he's. It's. I'll tell you why. Coming up in Don't Do This next on 97.3 The Fan. First traffic with Kelly.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
3 stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Woodsy, why don't you kick us off today for a little Don't Do This.
Yeah, it was like going back in a time machine yesterday when I saw news of Deshaun Watson under investigation, under fire again for more sexual assault and battery. This happened apparently, allegedly, in October of 2020 when he was a member of the Houston Texans.
Same time frame as most of the other allegations and lawsuits, that have been settled.
This one was, he settled 23 of 24 civil lawsuits, but this one was a little bit different in that he was not paying someone for a massage. But massage did rear its ugly head again, Ben. He went to meet this woman for a date.
Allegedly.
Could not find her apartment, so was standing kind of down at the grassy knoll, yelling up, screaming. So she's like, hey, I'm right here, relax. Come on inside. Let me finish getting ready for the date. She goes in the bathroom, put on her makeup, walks out. He's nude on her bed, face down.
So,
nude.
Just like before they've even had the date.
Correct.
That's moving fast.
This is pre-Texas Roadhouse, Chili's, wherever they're going. He's nude on the bed. She says, I need you to come over and give me a massage again. And I need you to focus on my buttocks.
And, do you say buttocks or buttocks?
I say buttocks because of Forrest Gump.
Directly in the buttocks.
That's why I say it. That way. Buttocks. And so then he partially disrobed her, allegedly penetrated her without consent, implicit or explicit. And she picked up a weapon, like a lamp or something, to try to fight him off with it. And he ended up leaving, and now she is suing him. And again, this is another situation for Deshaun Watson that just, you look at this and go, all right, man, clearly there is some pattern of misbehavior and abuse and that the dude needs some serious help. And what happens? Browns give him the biggest deal in history. He serves, 11-game suspension. He's back, no problem. Now this new one is up. It's kind of gross the way sports media is, but the way I saw it yesterday was that's how it was framed, was, hey, can the Browns get out of this contract now? Instead of like, hey, hopefully these 25 women that we know of are okay. It's, hey, I wonder if this gives the Browns, a little window to get out of this deal.
It's quickly becoming what looks like one of the biggest mistakes in contractual history to sign Deshaun Watson. I mean, people thought maybe at the time it would be. Well, all those fears are coming true. Sunday, Deshaun Watson, 24 for 45, 169 yards, the touchdown, two interceptions. Did not look good against the Dallas Cowboys, was booed at home by the Cleveland Browns fans. If, in a just world, maybe you just cut him. But because that money is guaranteed, if you cut Deshaun Watson, they would immediately, I believe, take a $220 million cap hit.
That is
the cap is only like $257 million. That would mean you'd be left with only $37 million to fill out the rest of your roster this year. You'd have like five players.
Yes.
So that's not tenable.
Nope, that's not going to work.
So you can't just get rid of him unless the NFL steps in. And as you said, there was speculation that if this lawsuit was not disclosed as part of the punishment that's already been handed down and served to Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's going to, and his agent are going to say, time served. You can't now go back and relitigate it.
But
if this
is a new one.
Yeah, if it's a new case.
I mean, he'll say, well, we didn't do anything since then. Nothing has happened. This was all part of the past. You've punished me for all this already.
It is a privilege, not a right, to be an NFL superstar.
Right.
And he has already gotten in trouble. He's already been punished. Now it's getting in trouble again. Horrible, horrible reasons behind it. And I would love to see Roger Goodell grow a pair of grapefruits and actually do something about it. Because that guy, who's going to miss him in the NFL?
Not Browns fans.
Who?
Not Browns fans.
He has no business being in this league.
I don't think that there's necessarily a hesitancy on the part of the league. I mean, if they just snap their fingers and say goodbye to Deshaun Watson and Cleveland, you don't have to pay him, they would probably happily do so. I think they know, though, that legally they'd be on very
thin ice,
shaky footing and probably end up losing that case and would be even worse for them in the long run, that they'd have to go through this whole process and then find that they can't do anything about it, which is why they haven't done anything about it yet. But I guarantee you, The NFL has plenty of lawyers who are at every moment of every day getting their ducks in a row just in case they want to go down that path.
Yeah, for sure.
And every bit of evidence that, you know, that they can use if there ever was a case is being documented and filed away for potential use in the future if this does come to the point where they want to suspend or ban him from the league at some point. Now, the Browns have never indicated any willingness or indication that they've wanted to do that.
Yeah.
They still say he's their quarterback.
That's their guy.
He's their guy. So
then I would like Roger Goodell to grow some grapefruits and just kick the Browns out of the NFL. Just
relegate them.
I ask again, who's mad at that?
Right.
Besides Browns fans.
I don't even know if they'd be that mad. There was such a good story last year without him, with Joe Flacco. And their coach, Stefanski. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a good story last year in the NFL.
Just on a quick side note, about an hour and a half long tease here, but we'll hear from some Browns fans later on this morning.
Okay.
Browns, Cleveland Sports Radio yesterday. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. I heard that clip. It's really, really good.
All right, I've got a story that I think Woods is going to enjoy because it involves someone who is pretty much everybody's favorite Major League player, except for perhaps Woods.
Oh, look at me.
So this is from our friend Hector Gomez. Does a lot of reporting on Padres players like Tatis and Machado in the past. This is on Big Poppy, David Ortiz. Quote on the 2024 National League MVP award race. And the fact that Shohei Ohtani is almost certainly going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Said they, MLB, always had issues not to give MVP because I was a designated hitter. I'm going to see what they're going to say this year when Ohtani, the pretty girl of MLB, is in the race. So the implication here is pretty clear. David Ortiz is saying that there was a massive bias against him in particular, not just because he was a DH, but he wasn't the pretty girl of MLB. I mean, is he trying to argue
he was like the prettiest girl of MLB?
Everybody hated David Ortiz? Because if that's what he's going with, there's no basis to stand on that. Joe Sheehan pointed out that, well, in the years that Ortiz was an MVP candidate, and he did finish top five in MVP voting, he was never top five in WAR or any of the other statistics that Shohei Ohtani is
right
this year.
Well,
so
he
yes
didn't, he also didn't he didn't steal 50 bags also either.
Right. My guess is
he didn't steal five, you know, like
three probably. And by the way, he is in the Hall of Fame with many other players.
How lucky.
Who appeared on the list, as Joe says, in 2003.
Yep.
Never got in. So if you're going to say that there's bias in Major League Baseball involving David Ortiz,
you may be right.
Yeah, you're right. It's just a very positive bias toward David Ortiz. Right. So he's the last person on earth who should be complaining about MLB bias.
Just fade into oblivion. Take your Hall of Fame and win. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. I think that David Ortiz was like one of the most beloved, got away with everything, and he did. He was just a hitter. I mean, and again, I think, you know,
he's a really good hitter.
But nasty.
Had a big smile.
Gap in his teeth. Everyone loved him. Yeah, I think he got a pass.
And that's don't, and, well, just don't do this for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Padres are back in action tonight. Hopefully everybody enjoyed their off day. We can get back on the stress train.
Yes.
And start looking ahead to a series against the Seattle Mariners. Talk a little baseball when we come back. Is Xander going to be the starting shortstop tonight? Predictions when we return on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back to Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Going to talk some Padres baseball here in a moment. Really excited to give you some of these numbers. And we'll see how they play out, Ben. You know, like the best offense in baseball against the worst offense in baseball. Surely that won't hold true, will it? It's a two-game series. But we will get to all that in a second. Wanted to wish a very happy birthday to Matt Doyle. Turns 11 years old.
Happy birthday, Matt.
His dad, Tom, is a huge tier one, and I'm assuming by default, he is also a tier one. So happy
11
birthday.
Is 11 is a great age.
Great age, man.
For parents.
Is it for parents?
I think so. That's kind of the sweet spot before they're old
before
enough.
The attitude comes.
They're old enough that you can really worry about them a little bit less. They don't need the like moment to moment supervision of the younger children,
right?
But they're not quite old enough to really get into a ton of trouble yet.
Yeah.
They're still kind of compliant. They listen to their parents, love their parents. They're not rebellious teenagers.
I'm going to say like 10, 11, 12 is kind of that range where it's like, okay, you know, we'll let you stay by yourself for a few hours or whatever. Like, get a little bit more responsibilities.
As I'm going over in my
Woods,
head,
I'm
how
thinking
many,
Woods,
that's 5
year old Woods. Where you were a good kid.
Yeah, I was a good kid until I turned 16.
16 was the date.
Yeah, right. I discovered, girls I discovered really at like 11, 12, and then I really lost my mind at about 16, where my parents had no control, zero. Just did my thing. Really looking forward to those days in my house.
You think that's genetic?
Yeah. 100%. I can already see it. We were leaving the school the other day, and the lady said to Bo, she goes, "Hey, have a nice day." He looked right dead in the eye. He goes, "I will." And just walked away. I walked the car. I go, "Hey, next time somebody says you say, you too, unless you're a psychopath." "I will." What?
"Yeah, don't worry, I will."
"Yeah, I will.
You know who I am?"
I'm like, "Are you kidding me?
Bo Woods.
Who are you?" Whatever. Kids, he's like an 18-year-old already. But happy birthday to you, Matt. I bet you're a good son to your dad, Tom.
Well, I'm excited because you said you did a little research, a little math.
Took 2 seconds.
I did some 2-second research as well about the Padres' shortstop situation. We'll get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Just want to say I appreciate Mike Schilt and the Cardinal Way and the fact that he values defense, and it's important to have a good defensive shortstop. And that's a way to win games, and they've won a lot of games that way. And I believe that you don't need your shortstop to hit 320 with 40 home runs. You can get by with a guy who's hitting, 215 if he's giving you really solid defense. And Mason McCoy has given the Padres some solid defense while Ha-Sung Kim has been out. Here's the problem. He's not hitting 215 anymore. I went back and looked. This month, since the calendar turned to September, Mason McCoy is 2-for-18, and neither of the two left the infield. A bunt single and an infield single.
God.
This entire month, there's been virtually no offensive production. Now, that's different than, scratch out a single every 4 to 5 at-bats, maybe driving
outs.
A run, productive
He's
outs.
He's had a couple of sack bunts.
He had some, but most of the production came way back in August when he first, he had a good first week starting, and it was supposed to be, 10 days? And then Ha-Sung Kim was coming back. Well, that was August 18th when he got hurt. That was 23 days ago now? That's 3 weeks. No one was anticipating a 3-week absence for Ha-Sung Kim.
Well, and then the report comes out, yesterday or the day before, that he's just not doing great. Not responding, can't make the throw across the diamond. Fairly important for a shortstop to be able to do that. And, we warned people, hey, man, be careful what you wish for. Ha-Sung Kim isn't having the world's greatest season, but he can still get a walk. He can still hit one out of the ballpark.
Yeah, I see some in the chat going, you mean the same offense as Ha-Sung Kim? No.
Ha-Sung Kim gets
on base.
Yeah.
He sees tons of pitches. He makes other pitchers work hard. I'll promise you, other NL pitchers don't love seeing Ha-Sung Kim. Yep. They may get him out, but it's not a fun at-bat. He's got enough pop where you have to be careful to him. He's got speed when he gets out of the base paths. I know Mason McCoy does as well, but he actually gets on base. He gets on base, I think, as much as like Jackson Merrill does.
Well, yeah. See the sarcastic stuff in the chat. Oh, but he walks. Yes. And guess who's after him? Luis Arraez. Like, if he's in the 9 hole, Luis Arraez is up next. Don't you want a guy on base when Luis Arraez comes up? Don't you want somebody there to clog up the base paths and to score runs? I mean, so yeah, if McCoy's 2-for-19, it's not going to get the job done. And again, when he came up, I said, I don't really need him to hit much. I just need him to play good D. Well, I changed my mind. I need him to hit a little bit. He's got to hit a little bit because you know, with the some of the black hole, it's black hole time again. Sometimes when you're rolling out 7, 8, 9 right now, if it's Campy, McCoy, and who am I missing here? Campy, McCoy, and who am I missing?
Well, Merrill's been hitting seventh lately, so it's really just 8, 9.
It's 8, 9.
Right now,
yeah, Tyler Wade will get thrown in the mix every now and then. So it just, man, I just, if you have an option, and they do, it's probably time to use that bullet.
Which to me, just based on the fact that it was even semi-acknowledged by Mike Schilt on Sunday or Saturday or whenever it was, I would expect, my guess, and I don't know, but I would guess that Xander Bogaerts will start at short tonight in game one of this series.
Yeah.
Got a day, get your mind around it. You know what? It's just for as long as we need you. It may be another 5 days. It may be through the playoffs. We don't know what Ha-Sung Kim is going to be, when he's going to come back, but we need you. You're the best option for this team right now. And I think what Xander should know, and we have both expressed our absolute understanding at what Xander has gone through, willingly changing positions too. And Mike Schilt came on this show and explained how difficult it really is to switch from short to second in particular with the game now kind of behind you as opposed to in front of you.
I got to imagine, though, the transition back is fairly easy.
It's a little bit easier.
Yeah. He's played it for so long.
We have expressed plenty of understanding when it comes to Xander Bogaerts' hesitancy. Can we tell Xander right now, and I doubt he's listening, but if we were, Padres fans can also be understanding, knowing, hey, if you're not perfect and you do commit an error because you haven't been there for a while, we get that. We know, though, that you are doing something that the team needs
absolutely
right now.
I think that goes
and
a long
okay.
way.
And that's okay.
I think that goes
okay
a long way.
You know, don't worry about the fact that you may not be the Xander Bogaerts you used to be at short. That's not the standard anymore. The standard is your bat's in the lineup. It gets either Solano's bat or someone else's, Peralta's bat, into the lineup as a DH if arises at first and makes the Padres a better team and a better lineup overall. And you're not a bad defender either yourself. So.
Yep.
This is the standard that I think needs to be set for a Xander Bogaerts move back to shortstop.
Yeah, I think I'm all for it. You know, I understood why he was reluctant to do it, certainly, because, again, you know, he's already made the move. So, but, man, with 17 games to go and hopefully some playoffs in the future, hopefully the eyes on the prize. He got his money. You know, he's going to get paid no matter what, no matter how he performs. He's still going to get paid. So.
I think sometimes I see the point. Hey, he's being paid so much. Just do what you're told. I don't think he's worried about, I'm not going to get my money.
His money.
I think he's truly worried about hurting the team by not playing his best at a different position. And what I'm saying is that, no, even if you're not at your best there, you're helping the team by doing that. And just understand that that will be appreciated by all of us, the fan base as well, for what you are doing. Don't make your own standards the enemy of what's good for the Padres as a whole. It's good that he has high standards.
Sure.
He wants to excel wherever he's going to play and put himself in a position to succeed because he thinks that helps the team. But in this case, sometimes you have to lower your standards to actually raise the profile of the entire team.
Satan's Blowfish says it'd be nice if the top three in the rotation could get back to form. None of those three feel like a lock or high percentage win right now. I couldn't agree more, Satan's Blowfish, but why not both, you know, at this point? Why not get Solano's bat in the lineup? Gives you a great AB. You got some tough challenges the next two nights against the Seattle Mariners. And let's rip the Band-Aid off here. And, you know, look, if you're you Darvish tonight, Trying to work your way back, trying to knock more rust off tonight. It's a look, knock on wood, and as the numbers bear out, it's a good team to do it against. Okay, this is not a good contact team.
Five clean innings out of you tonight,
would be amazing.
Would be perfect.
It'd be incredible.
When you say top three struggling in the rotation, obviously you Darvish, we expected some rust.
If he's in Satan's top three.
So if he's in one of the top three, I'm assuming he means Cease, Musgrove, Darvish. I think there's nothing to panic about yet. I'd like to see another step forward here from you, but this is part of his process of returning. Musgrove has been fantastic
since he came back.
One stretch of 5 minutes that was weird. Outside of that,
he's been great.
Six starts, he's been beyond great.
Yep.
He's been the best maybe we've ever seen him. So I don't want to just go ahead and say, Musgrove's got to get over his struggles. just erase one inning and just keep doing what you've been doing for the last month, and Joe Musgrove's been fine. Cease is someone that is the mystery here, the wild card. Because in some innings, he looks just dominant. Cease, I mean, throws 98 still.
Yep.
Slider can be unhittable. And all of a sudden, he just gives up a three-run home run.
Or like, walks three or guys walks, in a row.
Yeah,
like,
and that's...
Makes no sense.
That's the one to me, beyond the other two, which I'm not going to worry too much about it. Like, well, okay. I mean, but we've seen that. We saw it early in the season. And he got locked in.
You know, throw a no-hitter.
A lot of pitchers do that. They're not locked in every single start.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we're at the point where maybe he gets locked in heading toward October. And we see the same Dylan Cease that we saw during the no-hitter stretch. When do you want that Dylan Cease back?
September, October.
Late September, early October is when you want that Dylan Cease to come through with another five-start stretch like he had to start the second half of the season.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. I don't know that he's going to do that, but he certainly has it in him because we've already seen it this year. So, I'm not worried necessarily about the Padres' rotation. But, yeah, it's definitely cost them a couple of games lately, for sure.
Well, and if you're Yu Darvish tonight, this is a good team to get on track against based on the numbers. The worst hitting team in baseball, Benny. The lowest average in baseball. Only they are behind the Chicago White Sox.
Strike out a ton,
and they strike out more than any other team in baseball, and they are a full 10 points behind the LA Angels, who are in 28th place. And they get on base at a better clip, but it's still nothing major. They don't slug a ton either. This is a good landing spot for Yu Darvish tonight. So
they also beat the Padres twice at Petco Park earlier this year, including putting up 8 in one of those games. So there's no guarantees.
Think about how much we skewed their offensive numbers in that one game.
Now, the Padres struggled against their pitchers in that series. They're seeing two different pitchers in this series. In that series, it was they saw Gilbert and they saw Bryce Miller. And in this series, they're seeing George Kirby today and Brian Wu tomorrow. Is it good? Is it bad? I mean, you had a look at the other guys. Now you got to get a fresh look at new guys, but you didn't do well against the other guys. So, you know, maybe these guys are more to your liking, but that's just the reality. They're facing two different pitchers this series. Padres countering, as you said, with Yu Darvish tonight, 6:40, 5:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt. And then Michael King, we mentioned it yesterday. They're moving him up. Not on short rest, but because of the off day, on regular rest, and pushing Martin Perez back to get Michael Kings, the one guy who really has been throwing consistently well lately for the Padres, get him an extra start in here, move him up to try to make sure you win at least one, if not both of these games up in Seattle.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you got a tough order tonight in George Kirby. He's pretty nasty. So, again, first licks, you're going to get your shot to get to him early. Put him on the ropes, see what happens. But, yeah, Yu Darvish, you know, I he's just got to continue to build. I'm sure he's on a 65-70-pitch count again tonight, and hopefully he looked at his last start and figured some things out. Just didn't have a lot of command, which is to be expected. So if he's spinning it, Benny, and the velo stays the same, I think he can be really successful tonight.
The Mets will continue their series against the Blue Jays on the road. Mentioned the Mets won 3-2 yesterday. The Diamondbacks open their series against the Texas Rangers. That's in Arizona. It's a good pitching matchup tonight. Eovaldi against Zach Gallen in the first game of that series.
Nasty.
Two really good arm, so expect a low-scoring one there. And the Braves, that was a makeup game against Cincinnati yesterday. They got a short two-game series in Washington against the Nationals, who have not been playing well. They do have Mackenzie Gore, so another old friend alert. Nick Martinez helped the Padres out yesterday. Can Mackenzie Gore be the latest to help the Padres out today as he pitches against the Atlanta Braves? Try to reduce that magic number from, I believe, 15. Is where it's at over the Braves to clinch a playoff spot for the Padres. And the Dodgers lost last night to the Cubs. Cody Bellinger came back to L.A., hit an early home run.
So did Michael Busch. It was another one that they traded.
That's right. Yep. They will come back.
Walker Buehler, by the way. So it's doubly special.
Game two of that series. So the Dodgers are up 5.5 games on the Padres at this point. Game two of the series is an interesting pitching matchup. It's Shota Imanaga and the return of Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Ooh, is that tonight?
So, yeah, two Japanese stars squaring off against each other, both with sub-3 ERAs. Obviously, Yamamoto has not pitched in a couple of months since he went on the injured list. So this is his return, and it comes against another Japanese star. So expect that game to be well-rated in Tokyo tonight as they keep an eye on, you know, if the Cubs can help out the Padres by beating the Dodgers. No, definitely not going to complain about that. I don't really still see the division as in play. I think the Dodgers still have like a 98% chance of winning the NL West at this point. But, hey, you know, a loss is a loss, and we're here for it. All right, that is 2 hours down. We will come back and start the second half of Ben and Woods when we return. We still have Jesse Agler, the voice of the Padres, joining us for a little Incorporator at 8:35, a Rondo Report as well. All ahead on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.